Went with us to the Second Unity Baptist Church last Sunday for great worship and fellowship. Diverse group. It was a wonderful experience, and I won't forget it, and I'm glad for that connection. So appreciated you participating, some of you participating in that in various ways. When I was young, I loved to hang out with my big brother and his friends, if I could. And he usually let me be with him a lot. And he was cool, and I looked up to him, and I wanted to do what he did. I followed in his steps in a lot of ways. So the teams he rooted for, the bands he listened to, the sports that he participated in, that's what I did too, you know. And he was a good example of being a follower of Jesus, and so that was helpful. He was so responsible with family things and curfews and staying out of typical teenage trouble and all that kind of thing. He always had the car home on time with no dings in it and filled with gas. I know, parents, that's probably shocking you, but that's what he did. He kind of set the pace for me in a lot of things. I remember when my family moved to Florida from Illinois, and I was 15 years old. My parents drove our family car, and my younger sister rode with them. But my brother and I rode together in the second car, the beater, whatever you want to call it. But I got to ride with him. It was just so much fun taking that long trip together, just him and me in the car, and we had a blast. When I went to college at Lincoln Christian University, my brother and I were roommates together for 2 years until he graduated. And people say to me, "You roomed with your brother? Are you kidding me?" And I said, "Yeah, and I loved it." We've always been close. And to this day, I still love to hang with my big brother when I get a chance to. I still look up to him, and he still pours into me in a lot of ways. We sometimes attend Christian conferences, church leadership conferences together. He's also a preacher. And I always look forward to those days together with him or when he gets to town here. Today, he lives in Louisiana, a long way from here, so I don't get to see him very much. I wish I could more often. But as I was thinking about it, I'm wondering, who do you like to hang out with? Who do you look up to? Who has a powerful, positive influence on your life? Or maybe another question we should ask today, who's hanging out with you? Who's looking up to you? Who are you rubbing off on? I don't know if you know this, but today is Quitters Day. It is officially January 19th. After studying 800 million activities, researchers tell us that today's the day. New Year's Eve resolutions are abandoned. We're just not very good at keeping our resolutions, even if they're good intentions, you know, good things. So this year, instead of challenging you to a string of insurmountable, unsustainable resolutions that we're just going to abandon in a few weeks anyway, I've been trying to urge you to simply follow the life rhythms of Jesus. A rhythm is not a to-do list. It's not a discipline. It's something more natural, something that we kind of get a feel for. It's a heartbeat that just becomes a part of us, a part of who we are and the way we do life. And we're seeking to step in sync with the lifestyle rhythms that were characterized by our Lord as he lived, and more importantly, as he made disciples. We want to be in rhythm with him. Now, last week, we began to get a feel for Jesus' rhythm of prayer. Remember that? Boom, 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 boom. Remember? Boom. Boom, boom, boom. And this week, we're going to add a little to the rhythm, all right? Boom, 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 ba-doo-ba-doom. Boom, 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 ba-doo-ba-doom. Boom, boom, boom. And so we talked about the rhythm of prayer. Now we're going to add to the rhythm here. And one of Jesus' basic life rhythms was to invite someone to come along. Just invite someone to come along with him. He invited 12 men. He invited a lot of people to come with him, to follow him, right? But he particularly invited 12 men into his daily personal life 24/7. In Matthew 4:19, remember Jesus compelled Peter and Andrew, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now that wasn't an invitation just to hang out with Jesus or to follow his teachings. No, he wanted them to come do life with me. Leave what you're doing, in fact, and go where I go and do with me what I do. And so he created this mentor-protege kind of relationship with them as their master and teacher, and they were his followers, and they left their occupations, their homes to go with him, because they wanted to catch the rhythm of Jesus that they were seeing. Now our key passage today is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14, just one verse. And here it says, and Jesus appointed 12, so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. Now by itself, that little verse doesn't seem to hold a lot of meat, does it? A whole lot of meaning and application, but I'm telling you, there's a whole big sermon just crying to get out of that one statement. So there's a lifestyle rhythm reflected here that can drastically change the way we do life, the way we do Christianity. This single rhythm can produce a super abundant life, a fruitful life like Jesus. So Jesus, first of all, wants us to learn the power of with. The power of with. And the reason Jesus recruited the 12 disciples, Mark 3:14 says, so that they would be with him. And that's a key tactic that Jesus used in discipling men and preparing them for leading the church, making disciples after he returned to heaven. So he didn't enroll them in a Bible school or give them a bunch of books to read or lead a seminar or something like that. He simply invited them into his daily rhythms. And for about 3 years, they spent the better part of every day, night and day, with Jesus. See, the glory of God, God in all his glory, he became a man. He put on flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God what? God with us. With is his genius plan. It's an amazing plan. It's a powerful plan. Jesus had promised these disciples, you know, if you'll go with me, I'll make something out of you. I'm going to make you fishers of men, not just fishermen. I'm going to make something different here. You're going to see greater things, he promised them. You'll have treasure in heaven, abundant life, eternal life, and many, many other things. The power of transformation and training was just being with Jesus. His ways, his rhythms got transferred by presence and proximity, by just daily relationship, doing life together. And in that process of being with Jesus, he was teaching them, and he's teaching us how we're to disciple other people. It's being with them. Inviting others to be with him was such an integral part of Jesus' life rhythm. So I began to survey all the Gospels for specific instances when the Bible text uses the words with Jesus or with him. So I'm not going to give you all of them, but here's a quick sampling. And these are all this is machine gun style. I mean, these are out of context without any passage references up on the screen and all that, without any special commentary. But I just want to show you the pattern, the frequency of this vital rhythm in Jesus' life. One passage says Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a mountain. He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. It says elsewhere, Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Talking about Mary, she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. Another passage, and it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. Now large crowds were going along with him. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And so they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him. He reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. He began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. He went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd, in fact. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And so the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. And then our Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and he appointed 12 so that they would be with him. Over and over and over, you see this with him imagery. Now, without going into all the details of these various people who are with Jesus and what happened in those experiences, you can catch the rhythm. A bit of the rhythm of Jesus just being with people, especially his disciples. And, you know, wouldn't you agree that if something is frequently repeated in Scripture, we should pay attention to it? We should. And so there was good reason for Jesus to spend so much time with his disciples, because he knew there's power in life upon life impact. There's power in relationship, power in modeling, power in the teachable moments that would arise, power in spontaneous as well as intentional conversations about things that matter most. And one of the most potent and significant things about walking with Jesus was his disciples got to see those zenith moments, those great miracles and things, but they also saw what Jesus did when he was persecuted, when he was weary, when he was grieving and tempted and resource challenged, when he was under duress, when he was with family, or when he was in public, when he was in private, when he was being exalted or being criticized, when he was being successful or when the crowds abandoned him. They saw him when he was healthy or suffering, when he was when his own guys in his own group here were not getting along with one another. They saw all that. They saw what no one else got to see. The good, bad, and ugly, you know? They saw it all, and how Jesus dealt with it. It was powerful and imperative for them to see the full scope of Jesus' life. Now, Jesus wants us to follow him in getting into this rhythm of with. Because as we walk with him, we can invite others to walk along with us. You know, if you're going to follow, you might as well bring somebody with you, right? That makes sense. And that's exactly what Andrew did, one of the apostles. If you look in John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 35, it says, the next day John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, well, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he said, and you'll see. And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard John heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was go back and find Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him then to Jesus. If you read a little further, you see that Philip did the same thing. He went and found one of his friends and brought him to be with Jesus. Join us, you know, join the crowd. Let's be with him together. Now, when I say with him, I'm not primarily talking about bringing someone to church with you. That's a great thing. I wish you'd do that. I hope you do that. But and eventually that's a part of what I'm talking about here. But I'm really talking about something even more fundamental. I'm talking about letting someone get close to you. I'm talking about letting them into your daily personal world and routines to discover what walking with Jesus is like. I'm talking about friendship, eating together, exercising together, golfing together, shopping together, carpooling, taking a painting class if that's your hobby, whatever it is, you know, take somebody with you. Instead of hunkering down in the quiet and privacy of your own family room to watch the Super Bowl, why don't you invite some friends over to join you? Do it together. Let them see how you react when your team's winning and how you react when your team's losing. And let them see what you do when the officials make a bad call. What do you do? How do you react? Perhaps, maybe when the pizza's served, you stop everybody and thank the Lord. And they see that and they observe that. Or maybe you tune things out during the gaudy halftime show and instead you discuss some spiritual things or important, you know, maybe you talk about what the preacher talked about at church that Sunday. Just, you know, bring it up in the conversation. I'm just trying to urge you to develop more of an open door feeling at your house and in your life. You know what? Your home doesn't have to be immaculate for people to come over. Let your neighbor come over for some coffee and see you folding laundry. That's okay. Everybody folds laundry, right? You got to do that, right? And so it's okay if people see you doing that. That's not an evil thing. They're not going to think less of you. In fact, they might think more of you that you're willing to do that in front of them, you know. So let them come over and see what's going on. Let them see your reaction when your four-year-old spills milk or your nine-year-old pitches a fit. Or let them notice how the kind of counsel you give to your teenager. Let your friends see that your family eats dinner together every day with playful laughter and some serious discussions. Let them observe how you navigate when tragedy befalls your household. You know, sit down with your friend over coffee and make that friend feel valued and supported when she shares a burden or a shame. And let your story point to the difference that Jesus is making in your life. I've been through that, you know, but here's what Jesus is doing. You know, in a high-tech, social media, privacy world, many don't experience up-close, face-to-face relationships. I've told my life group, you know, Sunday may be the only day some people even get touched in a week. People are hungry for with. And in the context of with, people meet Jesus. It's true. There are people who are craving mature, experienced couples or individuals who can guide them and model for them and walk alongside them. There are some who are going through suffering and they don't have a support network. There are some who don't have anybody to be with on Friday night. Some have only known wounds from close relationships. That's all they've experienced. And many people yet to believe don't need a theological argument so much as they need someone who believes it and lives it. Someone who has got the rhythm. I'm just encouraging you to think with. Think with. You know, if you're going to a Reds game, take somebody with you. If you're going out for some Grater's ice cream, well, you're going to go to the shop and sit down and have some ice cream. Take somebody with you. If you're going down to the Ark Encounter, what an opportunity. Take some friends along. If you're attending a concert, do it with somebody. If you're going to the park for a family outing, then invite another family to join you. If you're going to rake leaves for an elderly neighbor, take somebody with you to do that. If you're baking cookies for some new neighbors that have moved in, let someone help you and join you in that. If you're headed to your life group, you know, then take someone to your life group with you. Hey, we're doing this. You'll love this. Come on. You know, what would happen if we follow Jesus' rhythm of doing life with people who need to be discipled? If we just invited them in to do what we're doing. You don't have to do anything special. Just do what you're doing and let people come alongside. There's another outcome Jesus was after as he practiced the rhythm of with. In Mark 3, verse 14, let me read it again. He appointed 12, designating them apostles that, here's the purpose, that they might be with him. Here's a second purpose, and that he might send them out to preach. He's got a mission for them. There's a larger aim, a reason Jesus spent so much time with his disciples. It was so that they would in turn, turn around and do the same thing that he'd been doing with them and for them. Spend time with people who needed to be discipled. Jesus said, come follow me, because he was taking them somewhere. There was a destination of mine. There was something he wanted to achieve in their lives. And when these disciples who were with Jesus would be inviting others to walk along with them to meet Jesus, that's when he knew he was being successful. Like the Apostle Paul, who said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We might say, follow my rhythm as I follow the rhythm of Jesus. Okay? Same thing. Now, some of you are in step with the rhythm of with after church on Sundays, because I've seen you. A lot of times you'll go out with friends and you'll go out together after church for dinner. It's fellowship. You're building one another up. Maybe you're discussing things that you're going to put into practice from what you heard in church that day or whatever. But some of you, I've also noticed, take it a step farther. In particular, you look for new people. People who haven't been here before, and you invite them to join you for lunch. Hey, come on, we're all going over to La Rosa's or whatever, and come with us. That's purposeful with. That's purposeful with. Now, I'm not suggesting that we make people feel like they're some kind of Christian projects for us. But I am saying that we should practice with intentionality. The most practical course that I had when I was in Bible college, maybe not the most important, but it was the most practical, I'd have to say, was my ministry internship with the Westside Christian Church in Springfield, Illinois. And I was like an apprentice minister. And so I shadowed the lead minister and other ministers on staff. I would just spend time with them, observing and experiencing how to do ministry. I ate with them and I studied with them. I visited people with them. I sat in on their teaching. Whatever they did in the realm of ministry, I did with them. I was watching along. I went along with them, and gradually they gave me some responsibility. I saw what to do and what not to do. I picked their brains, asked hundreds of questions, but I could only do that by being with them. Here's what I want you to also understand. I didn't just do ministry stuff with them. I also went to ball games with them, family gatherings, group parties and events, all kinds of activities. We laughed together, faced sadness together. But I noted the rhythms of their daily life and their spiritual walk. And I grew to love ministry, and I was better equipped for ministry by being with them. It was an intentional relationship. And the similar process happens when we let people that we hope to lead to Christ or maturity in Christ into our lives. I'm not suggesting that they have to move in with you basically 24/7 like they did with Jesus. I'm not saying that, but I am suggesting that perhaps the greatest place of influence for Jesus that you have might be your kitchen. It might be your backyard. It might be your office, your classroom. It might be your team. Now, you don't have to be perfect people to invite people into your life and have a discipling influence. You don't have to be perfect. It's okay if they see you're flawed, but relying on grace. That's good, in fact. However, I don't want to make any excuses. We should live in such a way as not to deter people from walking with Jesus. We should show some transformation. They ought to be able to see Jesus in us. Imagine trying to describe how to play baseball to someone who's never heard of baseball. Our friend Nate's here today, great baseball player. Nate, you know, if I were to ask you to come up here and explain to this group how to play baseball, I mean, that would take a little while, wouldn't it? And that's kind of a difficult challenge here. So here's a good example, how to explain baseball. This is a game played by two teams, one out, the other in. The one that's in sends players out one at a time to see if they can get in before they get out. If they get out before they get in, they come in, but it doesn't count. If they get in before they get out, it does count. And when the ones who get the ones out get three outs from the ones in before they get in without being out, that the team that's out comes in and the team in goes out to get those going in out before they get in without being out. And when both teams have been in and out nine times, the game is over. The team with the most in without being out before coming in wins, unless the ones in are equal, in which case the last ones in go out to get the ones in out before they get in without being out. The game will end when each team has the same number of ins out and one team has more in without being out before coming in. You got that? Play ball. Okay, you think you can do that now? Now, probably your explanation of baseball would not be that confusing. But if someone is truly unaware of the game, explanations are not enough. It's not enough. To explain the game of baseball, you have to demonstrate. They have to see it and experience it. You show them how to hold a bat and how to swing a bat. You show them how to field the ball and throw it and tag someone out and how to run the bases, how runs are scored, and so on and so forth. You get them on the field to experience it or in the stadium to witness it. People need demonstrations. And if we want to help others catch the rhythms of Jesus, we must first follow Jesus and invite them into our lives, into the process, into our daily walk with us to discover what following Jesus is like. So I thought of several examples in our congregation, and one came to mind was Jairus. Jairus was trying to finish high school, but he needed a family. And graciously, Paul and Seth Frisney took him into their lives, into their home, in fact. They made him a part of their family, and he was with them. And because he was with them, it enabled him to succeed and strengthen his faith and grow. You know, today, Jairus is married to Lindsay, you see in the picture below him, and he's serving in the Air Force. I think he's stationed in Italy right now. It's by being with somebody, intentionally with somebody. Kyle, wave your hand. Wave there. Okay, so you guys see Kyle up here in our worship band most Sundays. And you know what? He's here today because he was hanging out with Tyler. Tyler, wave your... Okay, there's Tyler. Okay, he's hanging out with Tyler. They're friends. They had some common interests with music and stuff, and they're just hanging out, and Tyler brought him with him. And in fact, he brought him with him to church, and so that's how Kyle got plugged in. Interesting enough, I've mentioned this before, Tyler is here as a regular singer and acoustic guitar player in our band because he loved hanging with his cousin Josh. And being with Josh, just hanging with Josh eventually led him here and to the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is that's the power. Can you see the chain reaction of with? We have to be purposeful about it. My friend Jeff was telling me about a guy that he works out with every day. They work out, and then they go have a healthy breakfast together. Not all the biscuits and gravy and all that stuff. And so Mike, his friend, is a facilities manager. And he got my friend Jeff into this healthy routine by inviting him. And you know what? Working out is way more fun when it's with someone, right? Do it together. That's good. Even if you're walking or whatever it is, take a walk with someone. It's better. He kept inviting Jeff. Jeff joined him, and that's how they did. And Mike's always inviting more men to come in and work out with them and go then have breakfast. And he invited a couple police officers in their town to join them, and they did. And you know, after time of just being with them, observing, overhearing the gospel kind of thing in the conversation, just rubbing shoulders with Mike, they ended up giving their lives to the Lord. Now, here's the thing about Mike. He's not a Bible scholar or teacher or an expert evangelist or anything like that. He's not been trained in any specific ways like that. Just by working out with guys, inviting guys into his routine, Mike has baptized two cops and another friend, a PhD, a counselor. He's leading people to the Lord, and he's just an ordinary guy. It's the power of with purposefully. And I think four powerful things can happen when we practice Jesus' rhythm of with. One is there's relationship building. You build friendships. When you invite someone to walk with you, you're going to get close with them, you know? Jesus got close to the 12. When Bruce and I started hanging out together years ago, he wasn't a Christian. But we spent a whole lot of time together in each other's homes, recreating together, sports together, all kinds of, you name it, we did it together. We were just always together. We were best friends. He was best man in my wedding, I and his. And in the process of just being with, he came to Christ, and our relationship then even went to a new level. And he remains close to me today. It's relationship building. It's a great product of being with someone. I read the outstanding testimonial book by Nabil Qureshi, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Isn't that a great title? In college, Nabil met a guy named David Wood, and they became friends. Not just friends, they became lifelong best friends. They hit it off. They're both very bright, shared similar interests and abilities, a keen sense of humor, good morals, all that. They're both very serious researchers to discover truth, and if you made a statement about something, they made you back it up. You know, they're those kind of guys. And they just were just a natural fit for each other, except David was a devout Christian and Nabil was a devout Muslim. Now, who would have put these two guys together? But they hit it off. They built a relationship. And David invited Nabil into his life, and they just did life together. And David didn't try to cram his faith down Nabil's throat. He just lived out his convictions in the context of genuine friendship. And they just journeyed together. Now, of course, in that relationship, it created some dialogue. You know, they wrestled over the claims of each other's religions, and they would study that, and they poked fun of each other a little bit. But no matter what was going on in life, they through thick and thin, they were together. And Nabil finally challenged David to support his beliefs in the gospel. And he was surprised when David could do so quite reasonably, quite soundly. Nabil found the evidence so sound that he had to admit he couldn't disprove the gospel. I mean, it must be true. So David then challenged Nabil's Islamic faith. After years together, he challenged him, and Nabil dug in to find the answers, to support his faith that had been part of his family for generations, a part of his whole life, his whole way of thinking. But as he researched, he became internally conflicted when the evidence for his faith was faulty. And Nabil's story is profound and worth reading. After years of friendship with David, he concluded that Islam was not based on sound evidence and reason, but the gospel is. And so at great personal cost, Nabil put his faith in Christ, and his friend David got to baptize him. Builds powerful relationships, meaningful relationships. Being with provides opportunity for mentoring. Just by being with his disciples a lot, Jesus was able to influence and equip and shape their thinking and character, not just by teaching them. It wasn't just in what he said, but also by example. He modeled for them, and he rubbed off on them. When you bring someone into your life, you become an example for them. Your influence is largely by the way you follow Jesus. Now, at some point, you're going to have to share the gospel verbally, but it's largely your influence comes by the way you follow Jesus. And so if your friend sees you praying, they begin to learn to pray. If they observe you worshiping, they learn to worship. They see you being responsible with money, they learn to be good stewards of money. When if they learn family relations by watching you, they imitate your priorities, your attitudes and character by the way you mentor them. They will also learn to mentor others. They'll follow your pattern that you've shown them. Well, how you've dealt with them, they'll do the same for others. Another great benefit of this, an outcome, is partnering. Jesus got his disciples involved. They worked side by side with Jesus in the gospel mission. They didn't just hang out. He let them participate. And I was thinking about my life group again. They love to serve together, and they bring food and stuff to this. They do whatever they can to make it work. But I remember when we had that Sunday plus two party, it was them who pitched in to help get all the things set up and everything. They are the ones who help organize and make sure that happened. They came together to minister to me when I was in the hospital last fall. The men went with me to that men's event at the Baptist church last Sunday. They were there to support that. And so we're partners in faith and mission. You know, without my suggestion, these folks are thinking of more ways to serve. In our life group, we follow the same Bible study method week after week. No matter what passage in the Bible we're studying, we use the same method. We read the passage, but then we ask the same five probing questions every week, every time. That's what we do. That's how we approach it. There are a lot of ways to study Bible. This is how we do it. And these same questions will lead us to application, understanding with application. It's intended to be very simple and reproducible. In fact, everyone in our group can take the very same questions that they're now very used to, and they can lead the Bible study without me. I don't even have to be there. They know the questions. Take any passage, and they just ask the question. In fact, we usually take turns asking those questions of each other, and we share in it. In fact, I would say, even though they might not admit this, but anyone in my group today could go start another group, even if it's just with one other person, and they could sit down and use the same questions and lead them in a Bible study. Because the questions kind of do the work. And you just talk. Partnering in ministry is the fruit of with. We build, connect, and we go. The impact eventually then becomes exponential. And that's one of the products. It's multiplying. And this is a really cool thing about Jesus, following Jesus with rhythm. You begin to invite people into your life to come along with you as you follow Jesus and you follow him together, right? And then that person that you've brought along, they go and invite people to be with them as they follow Jesus. And then those new disciples begin to invite people into their life as well as they follow Jesus together. Don't you? That is the genius of relational discipling that Jesus practiced and taught us to do. He wants us to catch that rhythm because it multiplies. It might be slow at first, but it mushrooms. It explodes. It goes viral. What if we got into the rhythm of Jesus? The power of with purpose. Who could you bring with you as you follow Jesus? Who can you bring alongside in your daily life? You know, even if you're making some mistakes. Even if you don't have all the answers, you know, you have what matters most. You have the only thing that matters. You're walking with Jesus, and he's the one people need to see. And I love Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It testifies. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Isn't that cool? And your friends will recognize that about you if you'll just follow him. Follow the rhythm. Follow the rhythm of prayer. Follow the rhythm of with, bringing somebody with you. Powerful things are going to happen, folks, if we'll just follow Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you? Don't just say you believe it. It's time for action. It's time to do it. It's time to really follow. I like it whenever we say, hey, anyone want to become a follower of Jesus? Receive the forgiveness of sins as you're baptized into Christ and he washes it away and you get a new start. You're going to be a follower of Jesus. His spirit comes inside you to help you live that walk. If you want to do that today, I'll meet you here in the front and we'll help you take that step. We need to think about what Jesus is calling us to do, asking us to do. We need to think about this rhythm today. And this is really cool. We every Sunday, we have this special time in our service called the Lord's Supper or communion. Do you know what communion means? It means you're communing. It means fellowship, sharing in. You're connected. It's a relational terminology. We're doing it together as a church family, but it's more than that. When we come to the table, something special happens. We meet with Jesus. And remember that Jesus came as God with us to die for us. That enables relationship with him for all eternity. We remember that as we meet around the table. It is a glorious time. You know, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me and so on and so forth. And they took it very seriously. And at minimum, they met on the first day of the week, the scripture says, to break bread, to have this communing with Jesus. It was so important to be with Jesus. That's a powerful thing. This is a glorious opportunity. This is the primary reason we come here, not to hear me talk. We come here to commune with him. And so will you meet with him today? Will you draw near with him, talk with him, commune with him as you come to the table? Experience him. Let him in. Renew your commitment to follow as you taste. You can serve yourselves in the four corners of the room whenever you're ready. Oh, this is a glorious, powerful, intimate time.